Hello and welcome to the programme. Today, we bring you on a unique journey into the private life of a family of badgers.
The badger, more than any other of our native animals, has a very, very good sense of smell. Okay. It doesn't have great eyesight like a fox. It has a great sense of smell. And if it gets a scent of man, it won't come out of its burrow. It'll go back down.
In his latest On the Shoulders of Giants miniseries, Terry Flanagan discovers the great yellow bumblebee. And on the 40th anniversary of the movie Tarka the Otter, we hear about an otter survey in Galway City.
Henry Williamson's world-famous novel, Tarka the Otter, is a hauntingly beautiful, sometimes savage story about the joyful water life of an otter, one of the most secretive yet lovable of God's creatures.
As always, we've got a very busy program ahead of us today. I don't know how I'm going to fit it all in, but I'm going to do my best. So, sit back and enjoy the ride. We start with one of the most incredible, extraordinary creatures on this planet, the beaver.
A beaver, one of the family that lives here in this lake at the foot of the Teton Mountains in Wyoming. And they're accomplished engineers. This great pond is entirely their own creation. Only a few years ago, this shallow, pebbly stream flowed straight down the valley. Then a family of beavers moved in and built a dam. The main body of it is built of boulders. On the downstream side, it's been lined with logs, some of them big and quite heavy, and on this side, it's been packed with mud and vegetation. It's been built so accurately that it is to within a few inches horizontal across its entire length of about 150 yards from one side to the other. And the lake it's created stretches upstream for almost a mile.
David Attenborough there from the BBC's 2002 series Life of Mammals, reminding us what an industrious lot beavers are and what extraordinary dam-building skills they have. Although there's no evidence that we've ever had beavers here in Ireland, even today we still invoke their spirits in everyday parlance when we talk about beavering away or being as busy as a beaver. Over the centuries, beaver populations have been decimated after being trapped for their glands for medicine and musk and their pelts for clothing. And here we do have a connection to beavers because as a native of Donnybrook here in Dublin, I'm very familiar with one of our local streets, Beaver Row. And the story of the Beaver Hat Factory, which was set up by the Wright brothers in 1813. The factory has long since closed, along with the Wesleyan Methodist Church and school, which had been built to service the needs of the workers, many of whom were thought to have come over from Yorkshire in the United Kingdom. But I digress. The Eurasian beaver, or European beaver, is a species that was once widespread in Eurasia, but as mentioned earlier, it was hunted to near extinction for its fur. By the early 1900s, about 1,200 beavers survived in 8 populations in Europe and Asia. But since then, reintroduction programs have seen a revival in numbers. In 2009, they were reintroduced into Scotland, and this year, they were granted protected status. Jack van der Noot is a wildlife ranger with the State Forest Service in the Netherlands. He was part of the team of scientists responsible for reintroducing beavers to that country 30 years ago. Recently, I paid a visit to the Beesbos National Park, one of the largest national parks in the Netherlands and one of the best extensive areas of freshwater tidal wetlands in northwestern Europe. No better place to reintroduce beavers. And there I met with Jack van der Noot.
I am Jacques van der Noot, G-A-C-Q-U-E-S, van, V-A-N, D-E-R, Noot, N-E-U-T.
Correct.
That's right.
You passed the first test.
Yes, right, okay.
So tell me what you do here.
My profession is a ranger for the State Forest Service. And I'm working in the Beesbos National Park for 43 years now.
The perfect habitat for biodiversity, is it not? It's full of all sorts of wonderful creatures, big and small.
Yeah, that's right. Especially the birds attract the attention, of course, especially in wintertime. We get a lot of geese and waterfowl from northern parts of from Europe. A lot of pintails and shovelers, you know, and shell ducks. And, of course, we have birds of prey as well. And since the last years, we even have breeding white-tailed eagle and breeding osprey. And that's really bullseye.
Okay, but they're not necessarily going to stay here, or will they, do you think?
Well, they breed. So
I know they breed, but do you think they'll stay?
Yeah.
Always a big debate about whether or not you should reintroduce species if you're going to go that way. And that's why I'm here today, because I'm from an area called Donnybrook, which is in Dublin, a suburb of Dublin. And actually, Donnybrook is a word in the English language. There was a famous fair which took place there every year, and there was always trouble at the fair. So a Donnybrook is a riot.
Okay.
And I've only ever heard the word used once in my entire life outside of where I'm from, and that was in a movie called The Quiet Man, starring John Wayne and Barry Fitzgerald and Maureen O'Hara. But there's one scene where Maureen O'Hara and John Wayne are walking down a small country boreen, a small road, and Barry Fitzgerald is a matchmaker, and they're having a row, and he says, is this a Corton or a Donnybrook?
Nice day.
It is that, Mr. Taunton.
That's a pretty bonnet you have on.
Bonnet? Don't you be talking to me about bonnets. After leaving mine stuck up there like a...
Easy now, easy now. Is this a Corton or a Donnybrook? Have the good manners not to hit the man until he's your husband and until he hit you back.
And that's the only time I've ever in my entire life in a movie heard reference to Donnybrook. Another time was in New York when a guy was giving us a tour of the River Hudson and he mentioned the word Donnybrook. I couldn't believe it. But at any rate, the reason I mentioned Donnybrook and why I'm from there is because there is a road in Donnybrook called Beaver Row.
I see.
And it turns out that back in the day, there was a beaver hat factory there. They were making hats from beaver fur. Yeah. But we never had beavers in Ireland.
Okay, I see.
Now, you had beavers here in the Netherlands.
Yeah, that's right.
150 years ago, there were beavers everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. And we made hats also. It was a very special kind of hat because the pelt, the fur from a beaver is exceptionally good. So that's why they were more or less harvested. Mm-hmm. And we killed the last one in 1826 in a small village called Zalk. And it's near the vicinity of the river, the IJssel, in the Netherlands. From that period on, we had no beavers anymore. In fact, they were extinct. So after extinction, there came some ideas, you know, for reintroducing beavers again. And that was in the 50s from the last century. And since then, up till 1988, the wonder became reality.
Why did it take so long?
Well, there were some arguments about other people. And other people are, of course, farmers who were afraid of a lot of damage, you know, with beavers, and especially the making holes in dikes and making long tunnels in dikes, and also the building of dams where the crops are being inundated. So that were really concerned in these days.
So there was a consultation process that went on with the locals to tell them that the beaver isn't going to do this? I mean, could you be sure the beaver wouldn't do that and it wouldn't cause these problems?
No, we didn't know, because for us it was brand new. The whole world changed since 1826 because it's now densely populated, you know, and everywhere there are roads and there's traffic. So there was a really big concern, but the reason the beaver disappeared was hunting. Mm. And not loss of habitat. We have the habitat, we have the beesbos, and they're still being reintroduced now since 1988. And now we have a few hundreds of beavers. A few hundreds, I think, 350. And some, at least 120 beaver lodges. So I think the reintroduction program was very successful.
Good. Yes. Well, how did you get involved in it?
Well, I'm a ranger for the State Forest Service. And since the coming up from those ideas and those questions and wishes, I went up to Eastern Germany in 1988 to collect the first one. So we were... In fact, we are the manager of the Biesbosch National Park, so we were responsible for bringing the beaver back. But we couldn't do that without any permission from the people from the agricultural world, agriculture ministry, you know. Yeah. So afterwards, we get permission, and the first came in 1988. We collected the beavers from Eastern Germany because the samples from DNA are more or less the same with the DNA from the beavers that we had before.
But 1988? Taking Beavers. This was before the wall came down. Yeah. And I remember watching on TV, as a lot of people my age will, the Berlin Wall, 1989.
I know.
Being chipped away.
And it was quite an astonishing trip, you know, because we had to cross the borderline and people with tall hats and everywhere were searchlights and machine guns and barbed wire. It was totally another type of world. So that was quite an amazing story. But we survived and we got back in 1989. In total, we reintroduced 42 beavers from 1988 to 1991.
They must have been very surprised to discover you were taking across beavers across the border as opposed to taking
that's right,
people.
That's right.
Extraordinary times indeed, yeah.
So really tense times, but it was nice to be here after all and to experience the whole story from planning to the reality. You know?
So you bring the beavers back here to Beesbos.
Yes, yes,
well,
yes.
What do you do? I mean, do you just release them into the wild and say, well, hopefully now everything will work? What did you have to do? No,
there was enormous political pressure, you know. In 1988, the first one were released by Gerrit Braks. He was the Minister for Agricultural Affairs. Afterwards, in 1989, we got Prince Bernhard. And he was the husband of the Queen. Yeah, that's right.
But she abdicated in favor of her son.
Yes, yes, that's right. But he was also a kind of chairman with WWF. And when he came, it was not normal anymore because we got so many permits from journalists, you know, who wanted to do their stories and photographers. And
of course, I think the ascension came with it. Once you had the royal seal of approval, so to speak, everybody was interested.
Right. That's right.
But what did you do, though? What did you do? How did you change the habitat here, or did you? What did you do?
Preparation of the reintroduction program. We, first of all, did our orders by that company in Eastern Germany for this year we would like to have 10 or 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Then the people went them to catch them
in different parts of East Germany.
Yes, that's right.
Not
that's
all
right.
from one place.
No.
You're taking brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers.
It's near the river of the Elbe,
big
river in Eastern Europe. After that, they were collected and they were brought back to the Netherlands in a special constructed wooden box. And the inside of it was prepared with steel, you know. Otherwise, the beef's going to
gnawing their way through.
Freedom, you know. So, and that we want to prevent it. So it was a really nice time to enjoy, you know, and really nice time to experience it. And we never had seen beaver dams before from 100 meters long, you know, and that we could see and observe Eastern Germany. So
you can understand why the local population would be a little bit concerned about you reintroducing them here.
Sure.
If they were going to build dams and raise the water levels, then the surrounding fields are going to be inundated, you're going to have real problems.
That's right. And it was a new species for the Netherlands.
Well, it was an old species.
It was extinct.
It was here. Yes,
that's right. That's right. But then we go back in time, and there you get a lot of opponents, you know, from who have another opinion. That's no problem, but we took quite some time to
I understand.
Talk.
Did you just release them here then?
No, we bought one section in 1988, for instance, or 1989. We separated two beavers for the official moment, you know, with Prince Bernhard.
Official release.
Yes, and the other ones we just did it very quietly, you know. We went to our boats and we brought the beavers in and we just released them.
But you did nothing else. You just put them into the habitat here and you let nature take its course. That's my question.
The first reintroduction, we dug the hole in the bank just to give the beaver the relief of, I'm in a den.
I'm safe.
I'm in a lodge. And the front of the lodge was being protected by all kinds of branches, you know. Mm-hmm. But the beavers just ate them and they ate themselves out to freedom. So that was the beginning. Since then, we didn't do anything. We brought the beavers in and we selected two of them. We kept them apart. We kept them separate for official moments. And that's the story.
So how many have you brought in total?
In total, we brought in 41 animals from over the period from 1988 until 1991. Now, more or less, we estimate the total number of 350 animals divided among at least 120 lodges. So I think the future for beavers in the Beesbos looks very green.
And have there been any problems?
Well, of course, there were in the beginning, there were a lot of problems with people from the agricultural business. They were afraid for grazing and graving into dikes, you know, and that they built big holes and big tunnels and inundation of crops, and so there were problems enough. But it took quite some time, and we took the patience, you know, and talked with all kinds of people, taking them out, negotiate with people from the agricultural businesses. So, yeah, it was quite...
Money change hands? Did people have to be paid off?
Yeah, that's right. In some cases, when there was damage, we paid it.
Yeah.
Just to get rid of it and no harm done, no complaining, we pay it. But suppose they're here now for 31 years, since 1988 until now, and I think we have paid to beaver damage in the Biesbos, I think some 1,000 guilders.
Okay.
So we are talking about...
Here's a term I haven't heard for a long time.
We are talking about some 500 euros.
Okay.
In 31 years.
Either they did very little damage or you got very reasonable farmers.
I see. I think very reasonable farmers or so. But when there was damage...
The beavers didn't do too much damage anyway.
No. When there was damage, there was a complaint, or a claim, and we paid it.
So how has the landscape changed here, or has it?
On a local scale, there are fantastic examples of how a beaver couple can change their surroundings by means of... Gnawing trees. They collect the branches for building their lodges, and now they have even penetrated dikes because of their gravings. With us, it's absolutely no problem because there are no farmers here.
No. This is a nature reserve.
Yeah.
A national park, actually.
Yes.
Are you described as a national park?
Yeah, that's right.
You want it to be wild and you want it to be what it is and that the animals that live here and the impact they have on it is all natural.
Yeah, that's right.
I have to say, it's a beautiful facility. It really is.
Yeah,
and obviously a lot of people are coming. You can hear the children in the background behind me and the cockerel there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people are coming here now. Are they coming to see the beavers or just enjoy the water or what?
No, and they enjoy the landscape, of course, and some of them are very interested in trying to take a look, a glimpse of beavers. So when electric boats, we are going out in dusk and until 9:30, in the evening, we are trying, especially in the summer months, then we're trying to get a glimpse of swimming beavers. And normally, we see some 4 or 5 beavers. I think only, and I do this quite some years now, and I think only 2 or 3 times that we haven't seen any of them. Only the traces,
Do you get your money back?
Yeah, that, right. No
That's
problem.
What they do
in
Dingle and County Kerry to go out and see Fungi the dolphin.
Oh, okay.
If you don't see the dolphin, you get your money back.
That's
so right. It's been a success.
Yes. And furthermore, we are changing the Biesbos now. It's expanding because of external problems with high water level protection. So we are changing arable land now into wetland. And that's quite an astonishing thing to experience because you're changing arable lands, with sugar beets and potatoes, now into wetlands with shallow water levels and dragonflies and great white egrets, and bitterns as well. So that's quite something.
So the beaver has restored the ecosystem. It's good for biodiversity.
That's right. And for people who are coming, to enjoy them.
Jacques van der Noot.